When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Hello, everybody. Annyeong.
Hola.
Hello.
Welcome to Let's Talk Hoya podcast. And today we're coming to you all with some more somber news than usual.
I don't know if it's somber. I mean, it's definitely, you know. Okay, I said that weird. I just think it's beautiful to like celebrate lives.
Yes.
And like, I would hate for people to like be like, oh, that's so sad. Like, remember more of my life than my passing when I go, guys.
Oh, I got stories for days.
But yes, somber.
Yes.
Difficult.
Yes. But we do always try to make it celebratory because another legend, one of the greats in the Hoya community, have passed. And I feel it's somber for me because in my mind, like whenever I hear about like the legends and the greats, I just think like, oh, maybe one day like I'll get to meet them, you know, like that's my dream. Like I would have loved to have met, you know, like Ted Green and Toriel. And it's just sad that, you know, it's another person that I'll never get to meet. But an amazing, amazing, amazing person, Mr. Anthony Lam, who's contributed so, so much to the plant community, the Hoya community. Yeah. And in so many different ways. Has passed on January 31st of this year to 2024. And we wanted to take a moment to talk about his life and everything that he's achieved in so many different realms of, you know, fruit and plant and horticulture, botany, and also for the Hoya community. So that's who we're going to be talking about today.
And for Malaysia, he was like, yeah.
Yeah. And you know,
a pro at Borneo.
And I knew of Anthony Lam because he, you know, published one of my favorite books ever about Hoya.
That nobody can find for a decent price anymore.
And I never knew like everything that his life entailed. So I'm excited to share this with y'all and share about Mr. Anthony Lam. Born in 1937. Past January 31st, 2024. But he was a British botanist and he was educated from the United Kingdom. And there was there's actually a few articles that were done from Malaysia because he was just so well known, like in Sabah and in that community, who was part of it for such a long time. And one of the things that they had put in there was Mr. Anthony Lam, and they said that he would always go by Tony. And it says, Tony used to take pride in being the last colonial officer from the British North Borneo government to make Sabah his home. But he was best known as Tony, which Adam can attest to because he found an article that was written by Ted Green that referred to him as Tony. But he accomplished so many things in his life. And I think it's awesome because we had an episode where we were talking about Nathalie Simonson and she met her spouse through, you know, plants. And very similarly, Anthony Lam met his wife. and Thea Phillips in 1982, and they actually met in Tenom through the Agricultural Research Station. So once again, brought together by plants. Isn't that amazing?
I think that's a very good indicator of, like, if you meet in plants, you're going to make it. Because all these people who've met in plant, like, they've been together for decades, and, like, they do all this traveling, and they do all their little research together.
Maybe it is different for, like, the scientists.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like if Steve was into plants, I'd be like, no. This is my thing, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Don't you feel that way?
No, I'm like, I need me a little plant bae.
But, like, Dorothy and Ted, like, they did Hoya together. Yeah, remember when we did the episode with Doug and we were asking, well, what did, you know, your wife think about this? And he's like, she thinks I'm crazy.
And all y'all crazy, too.
Honestly, yeah.
True, there is. I guess there is difference. I'm just going to generalize real quick.
No. But it is not, like,
it's you cute. Do see. I think it's cute.
Yeah, but then also so it's cute. Like,
They're kind of, it's almost like Naked and Afraid. They're put together somewhere that's outside of their normal habitat. Like, yeah. these two were in Malaysia trying to help figure out, like, agriculture for small villages. And then they just ended up together, which is, it's sweet.
It is really, really sweet. And they have two children. And even together, Anthony and Thea together, you know, were able to be consultants and making environmental impact and doing different things, because Anthea also has a degree in botany. And so I think it's so cool that, you know, that two people can come together, they meet through plants, and then they also are able to, like, cross that into, like, a professional realm, especially in something like botany and, like, the environment and how it has such a big impact just on our life in general. And to be able to, like, you almost have to, like, feel like a superhero, like, like, we're doing this together, we're changing the world, you know, type of a thing. Like, I just think that's so cool. But it seems like, you know, that's something that they're able to do, which I think is just so neat.
Yeah.
I wonder, you know, how he felt about how much the Hoya collector pool has grown, you know, like,
or when how he was it's probably changed.
Yeah, when he was probably doing this before, there's probably only a very small subset of people that really cared.
Very true.
And now there is a very large population of people that care, you know? So it's like back when he was writing the Hoyas of Borneo and all that stuff, it's just like, well, that one was a more recent book, but, you know, I don't know. I think things have changed drastically.
It probably felt so exotic to people, like when they were talking about Hoya and they're like these plants that are in Asia and they're like in the forest. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we see it more of a, like, we're seeing it through the lens of, like, us being not new to the hobby, but, like, researching all these things and looking into them. And we're like, it's true. It's so small. And then to them, that's all their life. Like, for them, that was, like, so big. And, like, they're in Borneo. They're in Malaysia. Where is that, the same place? Borneo, Malaysia. They're in Borneo. And they're like, this is, like, you know, pothos outside of our house. They're like, I don't know, like saguaros here. Like, oh, what do you mean it's big or it's cool? It's been here all the time. But I do think it's very, like, the reach of, like, the plant hobby and the plant world, plant community is so a little mind-boggling sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is cool.
Mr. Tony had such an amazing career. So I just want to touch a little bit on that. Because I mean, I've only ever known him because of Hoya, right? And then, you know, doing research about his life and his career, it's just, like, so amazing how much of his life he's dedicated and how one person can make such a huge difference in this world. But he arrived in Sabah in 1962, and from there he dedicated 50 years of his working experience, and that's just working experience alone, but his working experience in Sabah. And even in, you know, articles that were published about him, like the title for one of them, it literally says Sabah's, you know, passing of Sabah's walking botanical encyclopedia. That's how much he was revered and how much knowledge and how much impact he brought to Sabah. So cool. And I think that is just so amazing.
Yeah. I wonder if when I die, they're going to be like passing of one of the Hoya walking encyclopedias of the earth.
Passing of the lady who killed the most Hoya in all of the earth.
Probably. LOL.
Could you imagine?
You still remember me.
At least you remember me. He was 25 when he moved from England, which is where he was like born and raised, to Malaysia. Especially in like the 60s.
A whole different country.
It's wild to me to think like.
And you couldn't even like Google about the country or anything. Like,
no.
You like. Would you just have to go?
Because I moved to Illinois after college and I knew nobody. And it's like, it's a scary thing to like kind of upend your life and put it somewhere else where you don't really have a lot of community. Mm-hmm. And he just made a name for himself immediately.
And that's crazy. I literally sometimes I'm like, I wonder if I could even moving to like a different city feels daunting, like in the same state. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was a big difference to me when I moved from the small. Not small town, but like the little West Valley, and I moved into the city now. I'm like, I could never move back. I can't, because like it's so easy being here in the city. It's so nice being, you know, down the street from like businesses and stuff.
Yeah.
And it like, it's not like, it's like what, 20 minutes west? So I can't imagine moving to a whole other state and being like, let me start over.
Yeah.
But just think, like in such young age, he moved to a whole different country. And dedicated 50 years of his working experience there. And he completely changed so many things, you know, for that area and its people, which I think is absolutely amazing. But during his time, he assumed the role of agriculture officer in Tawau. And he served in Lahad Datu and Ulu Dusun in Sandakan. And he served as the agronomist at the Ulu Dusan Palm Oil Research Center. And through that, he was able to make fruit crops and ornamental plants available in Sabah. And they even say to the point that largely his work is responsible for a lot of the fruit crop and ornamental plants that you even see in Sabah today. Like, wow. That's how much influence he had there.
That's wild, because naming him agricultural officer, like, he clearly had to have made a very quick impact on that area.
Yeah, and not just that, he also subsequently helped the Tanom Agricultural Park, which is next to the research station, and they have a lot of like unique collections of wild fruit trees and native orchids, and he studied there for over 30 years, and they say that like even till now, the Tanom Agricultural Park and the Orchid Center is regarded one of the best botanical parks in the region, and it's a huge tourist attraction.
Let's go.
I know. Now I'm like, wait. Vominos. I want to see, like.
Get your bubble ready, Lydia. We're traveling to the jungle.
But during all of his years and all the time that he's dedicated, he's described alone and also jointly with others more than 150 new plant species. And he's co-authored and authored books on native orchids, Hoyas, wild gingers, wild fruits, native rhododendrons, and nepenthes. And so just think, like, I just think, you know, even Hoya, how many different species there are. And then once you get into it, just how complicated it is. And then to think that this man took on the knowledge of not only Hoya, but orchids, gingers, fruits, rhododendrons, nepenthes. And I know, like, I've watched documentaries on people who collect nepenthes, and that's like a whole different world too. Yeah. So like each of these must be just wildly different worlds. Like, yes, they're all plants, but they all, you just know, are like wildly different, like subcultures from each other.
Yeah. Every time I like see a, like listeners or people I follow on Instagram, and they're like, I'll meet them as Hoya people, but then I see that they also collect orchids, or they also collect the nepenthes or African violets. I'm like, how? Like, I can barely deal with my one species, and this is the person who like doesn't know. I'm like, oh, that's got big leaves, that's got cute leaves, that's like this. I don't know any of the botanical like information other than what like we research for the pod, so I can't imagine having a whole like 2-3 more hobbies. Like the only thing I know more than, or like similarly, is like lyrics to songs, Taylor Swift songs, and that's it.
Taylor Swift.
Very specific lyrics of songs.
But it's like amazing. I remember one time, I went through the phase where I was like, I'm going to get into orchids. I'm going to get into miniature orchids. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And then
I think everyone feels that way when they go visit Andy's orchids. Yes, you're like, yes, I think I'm going to get into this.
And I was like so confident in my mind. I was like, yeah, like I know miniature orchids, like, and like, I know these names and this is what I'm going to look for. And then there was like 50 greenhouses and all of them were orchids I'd never heard of my whole life.
She literally walked in and swore she knew a lot, and then she was like, never mind, I don't know anything.
So then just to think, like, to know so much about every single one of these subsections is just, it's just wild to me, and that he dedicated his life to that is amazing, like, if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, Hoyas weren't really even mentioned on his Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Like, it was all about the orchids and the agriculture in Malaysia. But I mean, it was listed in obviously his books. Mm-hmm. But I was like, okay, but like he's a big deal in the Hoya world. So let's get that on there. I guess I could edit the Wikipedia because that's how it works, right?
Yeah.
But his dream is going to edit it.
Also, he loved Hoyas and they are the best plant ever said by him officially. And if you listen to this great podcast called Let's Talk Hoya, they'll tell you all about his love for Hoyas. Not sponsored, guys.
But in that he's done all of this work, he has really cool accolades too that he was named and mentioned for. And one of the things that you'll notice when you pull up Mr. Anthony Lamb is that you'll notice, what is that word? Datuk.
Datuk.
You'll notice that he's mentioned as Datuk Anthony Lamb. What does that mean, Adam?
Well, from what I have found, Datuk is very akin to like being knighted by the Queen of England, where you're being called Sir or Dame, but it's just like the highest honor that can be bestowed upon a civilian by the Malaysian head of state, which is pretty cool.
And his wife has a title like that too, right?
But you'll see him referred to as Datuk Anthony Lamb. And in 2015, he was awarded the PDGK, which stands for, I'm probably not going to say this right, but it's the Panglima Gemilang Darja Kinabalu. And in English, it basically is the Commander of the Order of Kinabalu. And yeah, like you were saying, it's like getting knighted by the Queen, like a huge honor.
Yeah, to where someone needs to address you a different way.
Yes.
Which we don't really have an equivalent here in like the United States. Mm-mm. You do in your Korean culture with like honorifics and that kind of stuff. There's certain ways to address people. So it's like not really widely understood here.
Mm-hmm. But it definitely is a big deal. Yeah, because, you know, the book that I always talk about.
Now, is this the book that your dog chewed up?
I didn't bring it.
You didn't bring the guide to the Hoyas of Borneo?
I didn't. I'm gonna look it up.
Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
Looking to elevate your gardening game this season? Well, look no further than Coast of Maine, your go-to source for premium organic soils for over 28 years. Organic approved and sourced from oceans and farms, their full range of garden and lawn products are designed to restore roots to the natural world.
So picture this. You're struggling with lackluster soil, just like I did last year, and your garden plans just aren't thriving. And that was until we discovered Coast of Maine. Their products infuse my soil with the healthy microbes and nutrients it was craving, resulting in vibrant outdoor plants that practically thanked me for the upgrade.
Omri listed and crafted from natural ingredients like lobster shells and fish bones, their products not only nourish your plants, but also your peace of mind.
Are you ready to take your garden to the next level? Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. That's why their products are carried by local retail partners who provide advice and insight not just found in big box stores.
And Coast of Maine knows, from beginning to expert, anyone who takes a hand in the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere.
Their products make organic gardening simple and approachable for everyone.
Let's get growing together.
Visit coastofmaine.com today. That's coastofmaine with an E.com.
But we widely know of A Guide to Hoys of Borneo because I personally love this book that was published by Anthony Lam and Mikhail Rada. And there is a portion of where they talk about like Hoya that he's like discovered and things like that. And when you read it, it'll say in there and mention him as Datuk Anthony Lam.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish I would have snagged that book before the pandy.
Me and too. See,
I would have given you my you know, busted crusty copy that I have, but then once I realized how expensive it got, I patched that up real quick.
Yeah.
She even told me if I wanted to buy it when she bought it, and I was like, nah, who cares about Hoya? And then no. Now I'm like, dang, I should have bought that book.
I rebinded that book. But along with being awarded the PDGK, he also has several species that are named after him, and we'll go over the Hoya here in a minute. But outside of Hoya, he has a species of orchid genus of Dendrobium found in Sabah that was named Dendrobium lambii in his honor in 2016. And then that following year, there's a Dipodium lambii that was described in 2017, based on his collection.
Dang.
So he not only has a Hoya named after him, but he has orchids named after him.
Hashtag goals.
For real.
It's like, in my brain, I'm trying to think of like a comparison. And I know you can't really compare, but it's almost like Roberto Burle Marx. He has so many plants named after him, so many different genus of species.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And I feel like that's Tony Lam.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And like the orchid Hoya, Nepenthe, like all of it. It's just, yeah, a big deal. He's a big deal.
Yep, absolutely. But for all of our Hoya lovers, he is a big deal in the Hoya community because he has not only published so many different Hoya species, but the ultimate thing that all of us want is to have a Hoya named after us. And he has a Hoya named after him, which you may have already guessed is Hoya lambii.
Yes. Hashtag goals.
Do you guys have this one?
I don't have Hoya lambii.
Have you ever had it?
Is it the really fuzzy one that I got from Unsolicited Plant Talks?
Hoya lambii is a native range of species from Borneo/Sabah. And it's a bigger leaved Hoya. And it's one that was published by Ted Green. And it's just so sweet because, you know, we also did a memoir about Mr. Ted Green. And Ted Green and Anthony Lam, you know, look like that they had a friendship. And Ted Green, when he published this Hoya, he named it in memory of his friend Anthony Lam. He named it after him. Like, what a great friend.
I know. Ted Green's out here naming all the Hoyas after all the people.
I know.
Yeah. If you go back to like the older, the initial published versions of Fraterna, you will see Ted and Tony just like splattered all over. There's multiple episodes, like multiple issues, because I think they did a lot of their travels together, or Ted went and traveled to where Tony was. But it's kind of cool. I really do enjoy going back and reading those because Fraterna, just like the Swedish Hoya Society, is very like, it's informational, but there's also like stories and stuff.
Yeah, so that's kind what of, like, it is. It's
fun to see what people were doing at that time.
The stories always are super sweet to me, but he published Lambii and Fraterna in 2000 in 13-2. So if anyone wants to look for that publication, then you absolutely can. But yeah. It was named after Anthony Lam by Ted Green, which, I mean, that has to be so special for your friend to name a Hoya after you. Like, how cool is that?
I know. So yours would be Parkii.
Parkii?
It would, because it's the, that's, I think that's how it works. Yeah. Or no, there's a naming convention that if it ends in a, yeah, if it ends in a consonant, it's I at the end of it.
So then what if it ends in a vowel?
Well, there is, oh man, we have to go back to our nomenclature episode now. What? I can't remember what the vowel was. I think it was like, if it was a vowel, then it was like yay at the end of it.
Lydia, yay.
Okay. Mine would be Banzoffii.
I like yours better, Adam.
Yes, Jesse's would be Yesenia, yay.
Yesenia, yay. I like Ramales, yay, yay. Better.
It would be Ramales, yay.
Yeah, Ramales, yay. I like that.
That's cool.
We gotta cut this out, but Ramales, yeah, it sounds like Ramales, us.
It sounded like molesty is what I was thinking.
Yes, please cut my last name out.
Ramales, yeah.
Ooh, I don't need people knowing my last name. I got dirt on the internet.
But anyway, yes, he has Hoya Lambii that's named after him, and you can find information about it in Fraterna, but it is also one of the mentioned species in his book, A Guide to Hoys of Borneo. You can also find Hoya Lambii in there, and a picture of Mr. Anthony Lambs in there too. So, but other than Hoya Lambii, like we said before, he also was the author of, you know, publications, and he's the author of the book A Guide to Hoys of Borneo, and he published so many different Hoya, and not just himself, but also like joint published, and just to name a few, Benchai, Chuyorum, Fasiana, Juhoyana, which was named after one of their botanist friends, Kipendiensis, Retrosa, Samonon, Aniana, which I didn't know that was also named after not even a botanist or a scientist. He was just a regular collector and must have been friends with one of them because they named a whole Hoya after him.
I mean, that's kind of what Ted Green did with Lacunosa Ponsug.
Right.
Because it was the name, Ponsug was the name of the driver that was climbing up the tree to gather it.
Right. So we're just making wrong friendships here because we thought we need to make friends with a botanist.
We gotta spread our wings, okay? And now that you've been saying those names, I think it would be Lidiana, Hoya Lidiana.
Ooh, that's kind of pretty.
That's too similar to Lidliana.
Yeah.
Which was also named after
Little,
a scientist. I think. Yes,
so
David Anna Little.
Is at the end of it.
Lidliana.
So Parkiana?
Jessiana.
We're still back to Parkiana.
No, there's no, because it ends in a consonant. So it would always be Parkia.
You know what? Arizona education. I forget. Like 3 minutes ago, I'm done. It's blank. You got to reteach me the thing.
Okay, Chuyorum. Didn't know that one. Fasiana.
Chuyorum.
Every time I hear, you have a Chuyorum, don't
I
you?
I do have a Chuyorum.
Every time I hear that, I just think. I don't know.
Chewbacca.
Sorry, but is there, you have more. I interrupted you.
She said a few and then she went off and named like 50.
No, there's more, but those were just to name a few. And so just to think like he was part of that process and all these Hoya that we love and adore, you know, are here and recognized because of the work that Anthony Lamb's done.
That is so cool.
Isn't it? I just can't get over it.
Now that is a legacy that I would like to have.
To like discover Hoya and to like do science and recognize it as a new species and then to name it after your friend.
Yeah.
Also, that's like very, you know, self-sacrificial because it's not like he named a Hoya after himself. He waited until one of his friends did. Well, yeah, I think us, we would just be like, all right, this Hoya needs to be named after me.
Us? Excuse me. That would be you.
You would be like, first, this is Lidiana.
This is Lydia Parkana.
If I ever find another one, it'll be Jessiana.
No, it should be like, this is Parkana. This is Berniana. Oh, yeah,
she would go through all
the
dogs.
She'd go through all eight of the dogs. And then her mom and dad, and then me. Yeah. But by then, like, she's probably dead and I'm probably dusty.
So the chances that I'm going to find 13 Hoya.
Yeah.
Oh, but Boana, Hoya Boana.
Oh, that was so cute.
See the line where the sky meets the sea.
It calls me.
Boana, Moana.
Oh.
No one knows.
That like went right over my head.
How far it goes.
Anyway.
Okay, if that's not ADHD vibes, I don't know what is.
Okay, I sent you that TikTok of yeah. Like, you can't say something that's like a part of a lyric of a song because ADHD people are out. And I was like, that is totally Adam. Because anytime anything resembles a song, he just like goes off into this like singing thing. And I'm like, can we like have the conversation we were having? No, we can't.
Okay, but you're welcome. Lydia always brings us back. So we were talking about
I do
Hoya
because I'm like, alrighty then. Okay then. Back to the topic then.
Me again taking more credit than I deserve.
Yeah. Yeah. Me carrying this podcast did zero research.
Scared.
Just kidding.
But we're just absolutely amazed by all the work that DaDuke Anthony Lamb has done in his life and all that he's, I'm sure, like, sacrificed and just done to, you know, make all this information available to us and all of the impact that he's made, like, in this world as one person is literally amazing. And like I said, you know, because he was so, like, revered and respected by so many people and he had such a big impact on the community of Sabah, and in the world of botany, there are, you know, a lot of different articles that were published about him, where you can read more about him and see his pictures with him and his wife and his family. So I'm going to be sure to write some show notes about Mr. Anthony Lamb, and I'll link the articles in there too, so everybody can, you know, read more about his life and his legacy. But I'm also going to link Hoya Lambii because now I really need to have one.
Yeah,
it's a beauty. I looked it up. I don't have one. I think I've seen it in some of the sales, but I haven't picked one up yet. So that's on our wish list now.
And it's a beautiful big-leaved Hoya, and the leaves are a lot, they're almost like oval. I wouldn't say they're like circular like a obovata, but they're more oval. And the flowers though are actually really cute. They're like a little yellow type of a flower, and I really wonder what kind of scent it has. So
okay. Yeah, I wonder what kind of scent it has.
Now I think we're gonna have to get one and bloom it and enjoy a little piece of.
Okay, but you have to look and see what Vermont Hoya says about that.
They look akin to.
Oh, why?
You start saying that.
They look, the flowers look akin to like the Pandorata complex, or however you want to say it, like where they kind of have that cup shape.
All right, true MVP, Mr. Doug Chamberlain from Vermont Hoyas, has a Hoya Lambii, unless it's in the river by now, has a Hoya Lambii, has bloomed it. Oh. Hoya Lambii, aka the cursed Hoya. The latter name comes from my experiences with the plant.
Yeah, he just talks about how difficult he has. Like, as soon as he gets to a good point, he says it's like he does something and it sets it back or kills it. And so he has two edits on this post, one from 2011 and one from 2014 about like finally bringing the plant to bloom. But he said the first time the blooms only lasted 3 hours in his extra warm plant room. Wow. And then the second edit talks about starting it over in Leka using semi-hydro, and it bloomed 18 months later. And he said it did seem to grow easier in Leka.
Wow. But you know what? Everything that's beautiful is worth the sacrifice and time.
That's true.
I would give it a try. Oh,
I do like
that
the blooms
that?
Are mottled. Like they have like speckles in them, almost
they
like
do.
Robin's
almost like
eggs.
The, or almost like the undulata mm-hmm. flowers on the yeah. outside.
Yeah. Although the one where the picture of the peduncle with the leaves barely coming out looks like they have a bunch of like little mealybugs on them. This one.
Ooh.
Do you see that, Lydia?
Yeah, I do see that. That's interesting.
That's on Vermont Hoyas if you guys want to look it up.
Oh.
It could be cute, but you can't look at it too
okay,
long.
Okay, but was there any mention of the scent?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Mm-mm. I'm wondering if it was only open, if it only lasted for 3 hours.
During the day.
Yeah, it might not have a scent. Because you know how a lot of times.
Spicy fragrance.
Ooh, like a Red Hot?
Maybe. You know that they do call like the Lacanosa. Like it smells like cinnamon, people say. But I never smell cinnamon except for one specific cultivar. I do smell cinnamon.
Interesting.
But spicy, sweet, spicy. I would say that would be like a Red Hot.
Like a Red Hot, right?
Oh, I gotta try it now.
Interesting. But yeah. I definitely have to add this to my collection in memory of Mr. Anthony Lamb. So we'll go ahead and link those in our show note. But we had a very special opportunity to send a message to one of Anthony Lamb's children, Serena Lamb. And she had written a eulogy about her father after his passing. And she gave us permission to share it with all of you. And I think it's, you know, just a testament to what an amazing person he was, not only for the community of Sabah and Botany, but also just as a person and as a dad and, you know, a wonderful person in this world. And so we wanted to share a piece of what she wrote about her father. It's hard to know where to start when I think about what to say about Dad. He was a giant in the Sabah plants, agricultural, and conservation worlds, and his loss will be felt deeply. I'm deeply grateful for the legacy he leaves, his books and research, the agricultural park in Tanom, his herbarium contributions, and much more. Dad was a walking encyclopedia, and the interest, joy, and wonder he had about the natural world was palpable when you were with him. More than anything, he was a wonderful father, husband, brother, uncle, father-in-law, and friend. Endlessly generous and kind, humble, and with the most wonderful sense of fun and humor. He taught me about wonder and respect for the natural world and taught me about the value of friendships, keeping your word, and standing by those who are important to you. He had a truly incredible life, full of wonder and adventure, and he lived it well to the fullest. And to end, all that really remains to be said is that he loved his family and friends deeply and was deeply loved in return.
Ooh, that's like making me emotional.
I know.
Because I was reading along with it, with you. I don't know. What a amazing like thing to leave the world, you know?
And just like a wonderful, beautiful life. You know, not only all of the amazing contributions that he made, but the people that he touched and the amazing, beautiful life that he lived and the legacy that he's going to continue for everybody is just amazing. So thank you so much for everybody listening. Especially thank you to Serena Lamb and the Lamb family. And I can't imagine what the family is going through and the people that he was so close with, but we send just our deepest and warmest thoughts over to you.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. A hats off to the legend.
Yeah. And I think one way that we can really just like pay respects is to show us all your Lambie eyes. So yes. I would like to see if you have it in your collection. I think that'd be really sweet to see.
And if you've bloomed it.
Yeah.
Especially.
Let us know what the smell is like. But I think it'd be cool to see like how many people have this one that are listening to this episode. So make sure you tag us on Instagram if you do post it. So we can also snoop and see it.
His legacy lives on in the Hoya community. So share it with us.
Yes.
But where can they tag us, Adam?
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
That's hard. Oh. You can find us over on Instagram at lets.talkhoya. You can also find us individually on Instagram. I am at notdude.
I'm at thegreenplant.az.
And I'm at perritos y plants.
Adios.
Annyeong.
Bye.
Shut up, women. I got this. I'm just...
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.